We bring you warm Christian greetings this evening. Certainly is encouraging to stand up here and look over an audience like this tonight. Often it isn't this usual that this many come out this often to revival meetings, but we're having a wonderful meeting, and we thank the Lord for this, and we're glad this evening that we can be here and fellowship and worship with you. Scripture lesson this evening is Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. Yet in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them there. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love those two last verses. They are two of my favorites. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a prayer that I think we all should use quite often. Shall we kneel for prayer?
I do appreciate that Uncle Fred was willing to open the service tonight. Over the past 25 years, there's been times on and off that we've been able to serve together. You cherish those moments. Him and his family have always been very close to our family. As Brother Larry said, didn't realize a number of years later that I would marry someone who was closely related to him. I mean, it's a little concerning, though, the last two individuals that have been up here, Last night, my brother opened, Brother Dwayne. Tonight, Brother Larry opened, and they both have made mention how they're younger than I am. And they are. Maybe I better let that alone. I stand tonight, though, before you in a very unique situation. And that is, as a young person, I sat where some of you are sitting tonight. Our place to sit was to my right, back there towards the rear of the sanctuary. Once I wasn't sitting with my parents, that's where I would, for the most part, be found. With other young people, young fellas. But I also know what goes on back there at times, because I used to sit back there. And I don't say that unkindly. I just have some memories of those days when I was back there. I also tonight have memories of where I was spiritually when I sat back there. Not because I was sitting back there, but where I was spiritually when I was your age. It's good to have you here tonight, the young people, each of you. It's good to have those up front here. Brother Larry mentioned that he never thought he'd be up here, and you young people are sitting there, and some of you might be intimidated or a little fearful to sit up there or to sit up here, but it is not near as bad as sitting back here, as he mentioned. And as he said, would have never thought that 45 years ago, as I was sitting back there, that someday I would be standing up here. And so tonight, for many of the young people, I speak to you tonight. For some of you, as old enough to be your parent, and for others, I'm probably old enough to be your grandfather. And that's the way tonight that we want to spend our time together. I enjoy being around young people in particular, even children, because I enjoy being around people who have enthusiasm and even a sense of humor. Most of you know that I have a sense of humor, and I enjoy being around other people that have one. But tonight, when I enter this place and this position, it's time to be serious. And you'll find that when I stand here from time to time, you see very little of that sense of humor. Because this is a time to quiet ourselves and hear from God. And I would encourage you, whatever age you are, that's what we do tonight. That we lay aside those things that distract us from time to time and distracted me years ago. And that we spend some time just looking into God's word. And hopefully tonight I can bring you some words of encouragement, some words of instruction as God leads us in our lesson tonight. God makes no mistakes. We live in a society where many search and seek for a purpose in life. A society we have about us many times, where individuals are being bombarded to fill a longing inside, and especially when you're young. It's a society where we have about anything that an individual would desire. You have been blessed tonight, young people, to be placed where you are in this country, in this type of setting, even though you hear us from time to time telling you how bad things are getting and how it was years ago. You still are blessed to be here at this time, in this place, this time in history. But even though we have all those things and at our fingertips, and we have technology that we never had before, we have knowledge that we've never had before, many times for individuals, they're still empty. Empty inside, and they're searching for something to fill that emptiness. We see the symptoms of a meaningless, empty life in the suicide rate. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people, between 15 and 24, because we're searching for meaning and we can't find it. So we decide we'll just quit and end life. We see it in sometimes individuals searching and using mind-altering drugs. We see it in individuals who are searching and get involved in alcohol consumption. I heard a lot about that when I was a young person from brethren who stood here, the dangers. And I'm going to be very careful. And the one thing that I can recall very vividly over and over is they always said, don't ever take the first drink, and you don't have to worry about it after that. And that stuck with me. And by God's grace, I can say tonight that I had victory in that area. In 2013, it is said that $175 billion in revenue in the U.S. came from alcoholic beverages. We seek approval from our peers. What we drink, in the music we listen to, the places we attend, in our language, in our attitudes. And that hasn't changed. We did the same. I did the same. Seeking approval from my peers. And the things I did. Someone has said it like this, and maybe we'll use this as a springboard tonight to move further into the message of the evening. A successful life is not where you compare what you have done to someone or to what someone else has done. Successful life is not where you compare what you have done to what someone else has done. And we so easily do that, whatever age we are. We continue to do that. We compare our success by those around us to see if we've been successful. But they continue by saying that a successful life is comparing what you have done to what you were supposed to have done or to do. That's the difference. We spend so much time trying to be someone else and not knowing who we are at times. Advertising tonight and marketing is trying to make you like somebody else more than ever, young people. The advertising you see out there and all the stuff you get in the mail and all the billboards is bombarding your minds because they want to make you like somebody else. If you drive this type of vehicle, if you drink this type of beverage, if you wear this style of clothing, you will be a somebody. Clothing and textile industry is just a huge industry. 5 years ago, it was $2.56 trillion. Someone has said that throughout history, fashion has greatly influenced the fabric of societies all around the world. What people wear often characterizes who they are and what they do for a living. And over you are told that what you wear tells who you are and whether you are somebody. Mark Twain said, "Clothes make a man." Then he went on to say, naked people often have little or no influence in society. Now, I've thought about that, and it made me smile when I read that. But I wonder what Mark Twain would write today. People are walking around in society in things that they shouldn't, or they should only wear in the bathroom to be a somebody. The cosmetic industry. The cosmetic industry is projected to have $62.5 billion in revenue this year. We attempt to fill the emptiness that we sometimes fill with the opinion of others and not what God says. And we're influenced. We're all influenced at times, whether we're young like these young people that are here tonight, or whether we're 59 or whether they're 79, we need to be careful. We will be influenced by society around us, because we are constantly being marketed and that advertising is targeting us to be something different than who we are. God's design and his desire is to release you tonight from a meaningless life to a life of living and blessing. That's what he wants for your life. That's what he wants for my life. The God that has made you for him has made tonight no mistakes. You are not a mistake. There are no failures, there's no flaws, or there's no mistakes in his program or his plan for your life. The failures and flaws in my life, as I look back over it, are not because of God. It's because I've gone the opposite way of God. There's children already that have been told by their parents they've been a mistake. A horrible statement to make, and to have a child have any understanding of that and then grow up. God makes no mistakes. And so tonight I want to consider just two areas, and we'll try and do it briefly. That God makes no mistakes, that's the first one, and we exist for God. And if you can take these two foundational truths, and if you can ground your life on these areas, all the other areas that we could have spoken on tonight could build on this. And if you ground yourself in the thought that God has made no mistake tonight in your life, and we exist here tonight for God, and you use those foundational truths, it'll tell you tonight what to wear, it'll tell you where to go, it'll tell you who to marry, and on down through the list of the things that we so many times are confronted with. And they're appropriate at times to spend all evening on one of those. First, God makes no mistakes. The God who you are to live for and get up for has made no mistakes. None. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Tonight, there is no such thing as luck or chance with those who understand and live, knowing that in the beginning, God created. If there is a creator who created all things and sustains all things, there is no such thing tonight as chance in your life or luck. I've probably used the words in the past. I'm very cautious of it now to say it was lucky that this happened and that. No. As God's people, it's not luck. It's not chance. It's God that is moving at times in areas that we have not even, we don't even see and don't even acknowledge it at times. You see, there is a sovereign God who has put you here for a purpose, every one of you. You are here tonight for a purpose. And He has a plan for your life. You can put your name there. He has a plan for your life. And He has a purpose. You see, tonight, you are not a mistake. In Psalms 139 there, and we won't go back through and read it, there is no such thing as a mistake with God. In verse 13, it says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Reading from another version other than the King James, which reads, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." You have been formed by God. You have been covered, you have been weaved and knitted by God. Who you are and what you are, short, tall, some of us are petite, some of us are bigger framed. Some of us are fast learners. Some of us are slow learners. God was in it all and knows all. You are not a mistake. God made you for who you are, and that makes you special, and that makes you unique. And all the things that so many times we try and do that make us something different, or like somebody else. Verses 15 and 16, He has all the details of your life and mine. There are no mistakes, there's no chance, there's no luck in His plan. If He has all the details of my life, I ought to, and you ought to then what? You ought to look to Him. That's a great promise. That He has all the details of your life. And why wouldn't I look to the one that has all those things? And why at times then do I not look at Him? We like to think of things as custom made. And I thought, as I looked at it this afternoon, I thought, you know, we're kind of all custom made. In fact, we put value on things that are custom made. We search sometimes for custom-made products. You know, I want something custom-made. Well, tonight you're custom-made. But not by somebody here on earth. God made you, and he custom made you for who you are. Times, as we said, we allow everybody else to tell us who we are. Think about it. We allow movie stars, we allow performers, we allow athletes, sports world, all those people, we allow all of them to try and tell us who we are. Everyone but the one who has made us, who is God. And he says, I've done it and there's no mistakes. Isaiah 45, verse 18, for thou hast said, the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he hath created it, not in vain he formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. In Acts 17, 24, God that made the world and all things therein. God has made the world and everything in it. God makes tonight no mistakes. There's no mistakes in you being here and who you are and what God has given you as a person. What God has given you as gifts. So God makes no mistakes. We exist for God. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, but to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There's one God, we exist for him. There's one Savior, we are to exist through him. That was Corinthians 8, 6. I may have said Colossians. In Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Tonight, all of us, but in particular, young people. As again, I can go back to when I would be sitting back there many years ago. For some of you think, well, that's so long ago, but I can vividly have memories of sitting back there. If the positioning is not straight in your life, with God before all things, your world will begin to fall apart. I'll confess to you tonight, when I was your age, my positioning was not right. It took some time for God to get me to the place where I, for lack of better words, got serious with him and his plan for my life. He has to be tonight before all things in your life. He has to be. There are times when God has placed, and most of us are, when God has been placed in most of our lives out of position. And maybe even as an older person here tonight, maybe God has been placed out of position. Is God first? Is God before all things? All things. You see, it's when I get done with my plans, when I get done with my things, then I want him to be first. Or when I get in a crisis, then I want him. Where's God? You see, I had plans. I wanted to get out of school. Some of you probably are like that. Can't wait till you can get out of school. Well, let me give you a word of advice, if you'll take it from me. Learn everything you can while you're there. Because if you ever need to be, if you ever put in a position of teaching, preaching, you'll go back to those years and think, why didn't I listen a little more? Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I learn? But I was eager to get out. I had plans. I wanted out of school. I wanted to graduate. I wanted a job. I wanted a car. I got a car when I was in school. I wanted to get married. I had my plans. I had them all laid out. And God wasn't before all things. And that's to my shame. Tonight, God did not save us so he could bless our purpose or our plans. He saved you so he could come, or so he could, through you, fulfill his plans and his purpose for your life. We have a dislocated priority when we think that we were created for our purposes and for what we want to do. If you are living outside of God's purposes, you are living outside of God's power, and you are living outside of God's blessing. You're not just here to go to church. That's good. It's great to have you here tonight. That's very important. But you're not here just here to live to go to church, to read your Bible or belong to a certain part of a youth gathering or youth group. You were created tonight, and put your name in here. Make it personal, each one of you, all of us. We were created tonight so God would have someone to fulfill his purpose and plan. And he wants to do it through each of our lives individually, how he works that out and where he takes us and what he does with us as we go through our teen years and later on in our 50s and our 60s and 70s and 80s. He has a plan that he wants to fulfill in each of our lives to bring honor and glory to him. God tonight is not a vending machine. We still, some of the stuff I would talk about years ago, I've been in groups of young people, and they look at me and they say, you don't even know what you're talking about. I think we still know what a vending machine is, don't we? We all know what a vending machine is. They still have them. We never put credit cards in them, but we had vending machines. We never put dollar bills in them. We put coins in them. Tonight, God's not a vending machine. I think sometimes we treat God as a vending machine. We say, God, I'm going to put a little Bible reading in. Now I'm going to put a little church attendance in. And I'll put a little prayer time in. And then you say, God, well, you look at that vending machine, maybe. And then you choose what you want from God. God, I'd like to have this and this and this and this. And there's nothing wrong with goals in life. But we're talking about a priority that is dislocated. God's not a vending machine where I give him back a little bit of my devotion. And I gave him my devotion sitting back there. I came to church. I came on my own, but I was expected to be here because my parents were here. And I gave him those things. But there was times I wanted then, God, this is what I want. This is what you can do for me, God. If your life tonight does not exist for his plan and his purpose, then you're outside of his blessing. You're outside of his power. We were made for God. And God makes no mistakes. And we are made for God. If you step out of that created role tonight, you're going to end up in disaster. And you might think tonight, well, that'll never happen. I got it all under control. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm going to do. I could give you testimony. I've sat in front of young people already. In front of a young girl who thought she had everything figured out in life. And she had it all under control. I know what I'm doing. And her life is a disaster. It'll lead you there. I plead with you. It'll lead you there. You see, there's times in our life, and again, not just the young people, all of us. There's times in our life when we are satisfied to have God just show up like that vending machine. God, where are you? I need something. Might be times of trouble, might be times of problems, or maybe we're just really up against it. What do you want me to do? Tonight, God wants to be more than a vending machine. He wants to take over and dominate who you are. That's what God wants. God wants to take over and dominate who you are and what you are. 1 Corinthians 10:31, wherefore, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But you know, it doesn't stop there. It says, to them who are called according to his purposes. And that's important to pause and think of that tonight. We want everything to work for good. I did at times in my life, but I didn't want to be called according to his purposes. God makes no mistakes. And we are to live and exist for God. It's not just something we have to grasp at times when we're young. Something at times God brings into our life that we struggle with even when we're older. And I'm cautious at times of sharing personal experiences, but will you allow me a few more minutes tonight? I want to share something with you. And I'll make it quick. It could be very lengthy of how God moved and God worked. 8 years ago, I was 51 years old. And after several weeks of testing, the results of a bone marrow test came back on Good Friday. I got a phone call from the doctor's office, which was actually closed, so that made the phone call more urgent. And they asked me if I could come to the office. My response was, is it that bad? They said, we got your results back. You need to come in. I remember the day I sat there, Barb and I sat there before the doctor. She looked at me. She said, Paul, you have leukemia. But she said, the good news is that type of leukemia you have, we think we can treat. She wanted me the next day go for a CAT scan. By Monday, I was to start chemotherapy. But what I want to share with you is what took place that weekend. She cautioned me about being in crowds, so that weekend we stayed at home. We were having revival services. Brother Ray was there as the evangelist. Friday night, I went, shared with the congregation what was taking, and thanked them for their prayers and asked them to continue to pray for me. Between Friday evening, Saturday evening, I shed a lot of tears. A lot of tears flowed, wondering, "What God, what are you doing? What's going on?" And all the questions we sometimes ask. And it wasn't until Saturday evening that I was able to come to terms with these two things I've talked to you about tonight. And I want to bring this to your attention tonight, that maybe someday it'll help you, because the hard times are going to come. You're going to get news like that. You're going to have times like that in your life. And I had to go back through that God makes no mistakes in my life, and I exist for Him. And all day Saturday, I could have told Him of all the things I had planned I was going to do. And now, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But I heard a song Saturday evening, and I'll give you the words to it. It goes like this. It says, "Today I faced a mountain that I have no strength to climb. And the struggle of the journey left me weak, both in body and mind. From where I stand to the peak, it's a distance on my own I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right here on my knees. I may face things tomorrow I cannot comprehend. Circumstances so uncertain often make it hard to find the strength to pray. But I'm living in His promise. I'll never leave you. I'll always see you through. What's this mountain to an eagle flying high from heaven's point of view? Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on eagle, on the wings of eagles, on the wings of grace. Far into the heavens, I can almost see God's face, rising in His splendor to heights I've never known. What once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view." I want to encourage you tonight. That night there, I was willing to say, "God, you make no mistakes. I know that." And again, in my life, I submit and say, "I exist for you." And then I could look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I could say, "Everything will work out for good, whatever that is. And wherever He takes me and whatever the result is, it would be good. It would be good, because I know God makes no mistakes, and He makes no mistakes in your life. And I exist for Him, not for me, and what I'd like to do the rest of my life." And so I encourage you tonight, young people in particular, live life from heaven's point of view. Because many times we live life from earth's point of view. And we look at life from earth's point of view. But I encourage you tonight to look at life from heaven's point of view. And when you look at life from heaven's point of view, you realize that God has made no mistakes, and we exist for Him. And when we do that tonight, when you do that, and then when you cry out to God in areas of decision, when we have committed ourselves to exist for Him, and when we ask Him for things, it'll be according to His will, and then He will respond to our requests, sometimes saying yes, sometimes saying no. Some of you here tonight need to make some decisions in your life, and I don't know what they are and where you're at. But I believe that, because there's too many of us here. There's too many of you here that don't have decisions you're facing Some of them might be, who am I going to marry? What am I going to do the rest of my life? But I believe you're here, some of you, needing to make decisions. And you need to make those decisions from heaven's point of view, not from an earthly view. There are three groups of people here tonight. Whether you're young and old, there's three groups of us here. There's a group that you are following Jesus Christ. And you exist for him. And we thank God for you. Many of you. Many of us here tonight have done that. Praise be to God that we have made that decision years ago that we were going to follow Jesus Christ. We were going to exist for him. And when we fall, we seek forgiveness. And when we struggle, we go to him for strength. I encourage you tonight again to keep a heaven's point of view in life. But there's another group here. There's individuals here, I would believe, just because of the size of the audience, that have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Confessing your sins and willing to turn from it and follow Jesus Christ. You've never done that. And until you do that, you're looking at things in life from earth's perspective. You're up against a mountain. It seems like a mountain. It's a mountain of decision. What am I going to do? For some, because God has possibly years worked with you and drawn you. Then there's a second group here tonight, I believe. Because I was here many years ago as I sat at times back there. You've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ in the past. But you have a dislocated priority. You have a dislocated priority tonight. God is not first over all things in your life. Other things tonight have been placed before God. He's not first anymore. Again, I don't know who or what's going on in your life. But I just sense there's individuals here in all three groups tonight. And if God is calling you tonight, we'll give you opportunity to respond to God's call in your life. You say, well, all these people are here. What are these other young people going to think about me? Are we looking at it from an earthly view? Or is it from a heavenly view? Most of them are going to surround you, whether you're young or older. So we'll give you opportunity tonight to respond as we sing from 375. 375.